Welcome to Torati Macha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be studying the HaVtorah for Parshas Va'era from Sefer Yecheskel, from chapter 28, verse 25, till chapter 29, verse 21. The subject of the HaVtorah is Mitzrayim, Egypt, and the punishment that they will suffer. Basically, two separate messages, both in chapter 29. One describing the defeat and utter desolation for 40 years until their return to their land as a weakened nation, and then a shorter one, which includes the details of who their enemy and destroyer would be, Nebuchadnezzar. But the Balei HaVtorah chose to begin our HaVtorah with the final two psukim in chapter 28, a beautiful promise to the Jewish people. Verse 25, Ko amar Hashem Elokim bekabtzias beis Yisrael min ha'amim asher nafotsu bam v'nikdashti bam le'enei ha'goyim v'yashvu al admasam asher nasati la'avdi li'yakov. So says Hashem, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the people amongst which they have been dispersed, and have shown myself holy through them in the sight of the nations, they shall settle on their own soil, which I gave to my servant Yaakov. And v'yashvu aleha levetach, uvanu batim, v'natu kramim, v'yashvu levetach ba'asu si shvatim b'chol hashatim osam, misviv osam, v'yad'u ki ani Hashem Elokehem. And they shall dwell in it in security, they shall build houses, plant vineyards, and shall dwell on it in security, when I have meted out punishment to all those about them who despise them. And they shall know that I, the Eternal One, am their God. And not only that, but at the conclusion of each section of the Egypt part of our HaVtorah, once again, there is a message for the Jewish people, like verse 16. The lo yihye od leveis Yisrael lemivtach maskir avon bifno samachareihem v'yad'u ki ani Hashem Elokim. Never again shall they be the trust of the house of Israel, recalling its guilt and having turned to them. They shall know that I am Hashem. And verse 21, by Yom Hahu Atzmiach Keren Leveis Yisrael Ulecha Atein Pischon Peh Bisocham V'yad'u Ki Ani Hashem. On that day, I will endow the house of Yisrael with strength, and you shall be vindicated among them, and they shall know that I am Hashem. So the messages to Mitzrayim of their downfall is bookended with messages of redemption for the Jewish people. But more than that, there is a clear causative correlation by Yom Hahu, on that day, on the day of their downfall, that is when Bnei Yisrael will begin to rise. The difficulty with this analysis of the HaVtorah, however, is it does not seem to be historically accurate. As Rashi, among others, asks, Lo shamati v'lo matasi piresh mikra zeh, mahut semach karnam shel Yisrael b'mapalas Mitzrayim. Shaharei Yisrael galu shmona shanim lifnei mapalas Mitzrayim. I have not heard nor found an explanation for this pasuk. What is this growing of salvation for the Jewish people connected to the downfall of Egypt? Israel actually was exiled 8 years before the downfall of Egypt. Yes, Egypt would be conquered and subjugated by Babylon, but the timing seems off. We were exiled from Jerusalem 8 years before the downfall of Egypt, and we returned much later. So how to really understand the message here? In what way will the downfall of Egypt herald the redemption of Israel? Before we begin to answer this question, let us connect back to our Parshas HaShavua. Of course, the connection to our Parshas Va'era is clear. Just as in Parshas HaShavua, the proud and audacious Egyptians will begin to be punished and their power neutralized, so will they suffer retribution again by the hands of the Babylonians. And just as the Nile River, the amazing Egyptian natural resource that had become godlike in their minds, was targeted and made ridiculous in our Parsha with Makas Dam, blood, so is it mentioned here in chapter 29, verse 3. Daber v'amarta ko amar Hashem Elokim, hineni alecha paro melech Mitzrayim, hatanim hagadol, harovitz besoch ye'orav, asher amar li ye'ori, v'ani asisini. Speak these words, thus says Hashem, I am going to deal with you, O Paro, king of Egypt, mighty sea monster, sprawling in your channels, who said, my Nile is my own, I made it for myself. And verse 4, V'nasati chachim bilchayecha, v'hidbakti degas ye'orecha, b'kaskis sosecha, v'ha'alisicha mitoch ye'orecha, v'es kol degas ye'orecha, b'kaskis kosecha tidbak. I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your channels cling to your scales. I will haul you up from your channels with all the fish of your channels clinging to your scales. We are certainly seeing imagery of Makas Dam, or perhaps Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Egyptians did wash out of the sea like dead fish on the shore. But again, back to our question. In the story of Shemos, the destruction of Egypt was directly linked to our redemption. But in the story of Bavel, it really seems like two simultaneous conquests. Nebuchadnezzar conquered us and conquered Egypt, again, almost simultaneously, but apparently unrelatedly. And the troubles of Egypt did not directly do anything for us. We would spend almost a century in exile. The key seems to be Psukim 7 and 8. V'yed'u kol yoshvei Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem ya'an heyosam mish'enes kaneh leveis Yisrael. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am God, because you were a staff of reed to the house of Israel. In our verse here, and actually in three separate books of Tanakh, Malachim, Yeshaya, and Yechezkel, Egypt is called a mish'enes kaneh, a staff of reed. Truly an ironic oxymoron, as Pasuk Ches will explain. We use a rod, a walking stick, to lean on. But although a rod of reeds looks strong, straight, solid, and dependable, leaning on it will of course lead to splintering, pain, downfall, and disaster. A rod of reeds. Are we hearing echoes of Parshas Va'era? In the story of the Parsha, we had mighty and arrogant Paro, who certainly seemed to believe, Li ye'ori v'ani asisini, the Nile is mine, and I created it for myself. The danger of Egypt, however, was not that Paro believed in his own self-deification, but that we, the Jewish people, had fallen under his spell. We were petrified and under his influence. As long as Paro was seen as God, we had no freedom, no agency, and no belief in our self-determination. What was accomplished through the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Exodus, was the stripping away of that lie. Different iterations of the phrase, you will know that I am God, are repeated throughout our parsha. When I break the illusion of Paro, you will see him as the tiny man behind the curtain. Then you will know me, Hashem, the one and only power, and then you will be free. That was the danger then, when the rod of reeds was the petrifying, punishing rod of slavery, when Paro loomed larger than life as the demigod, the all-powerful world ruler. And what about more modern-day Paros? The Egypt leading up to the destruction of the first temple did not usually play the role of an enemy. To the contrary, he was seen as a valuable and beneficent ally, one who B'nai Yisrael leaned on time and time again, but as we will see, no less problematic in this role. What the prophets continued to remind the Jewish people was, Egypt and other foreign nations are not dependable supports. They are rods of reeds. The metaphor of the rods of reeds is a powerful one. It speaks to the fragility of Egypt's promises of support and security. While the staff may appear strong, in reality it splinters and fails to provide true support. They have never actually helped you. In fact, their misleading promises of castles in the sky have actually shattered you and led to your destruction. and relying on them has been a dangerous distraction. The rod of reeds is not just a physical symbol of fragility, it also represents a spiritual crutch. As long as the Jewish people looked to Egypt or any other foreign power for support, they were never truly free. This misplaced dependence kept them in a state of spiritual slavery just as much as they had been under Pharaoh's direct control. And so, once again, it is the mirage of the strength of Pharaoh that will need to be conquered in order to clear the path for our redemption. And so Yechezkel tells the Jewish people here in Babylon, witnessing the downfall of Egypt, pay attention. Do you see the weakness of this nation you thought was your firewall? Watch their downfall and recognize that they never had the power you thought they did. And as long as you placed your survival in the hands of another nation, you could never be free. And so, it is actually deeply understanding that Mitzrayim is a Mishenes Kaneh, a rod of reeds that will once again herald your salvation and self-actualization. Because true redemption requires breaking free from the illusion of strength that Egypt or any worldly power offers. Only by recognizing that Hashem is the ultimate source of strength, placing our trust in Him alone, can we experience real freedom and spiritual independence. And I believe this is the message for us today. As we begin the beautiful story of our redemption, our freedom from Egypt, it behooves us to ask the question, do we have freedom today? What is freedom? Is it merely the absence of suffering, of persecution? As we will see in the next few parshios, freedom was a slow and lengthy process, an emotional and spiritual journey to true emancipation. Taking the Jew out of Egypt was simple compared to the work of taking Egypt out of the Jewish psyche. And in a sense, Yechezkel is telling us, this subjugation to others can be insidious. It is not always a visible external force. Often, the most dangerous form of bondage is the one we impose upon ourselves through fear, dependence, and the false belief that our survival and strength depend on external powers. This message is not just historical. It's timeless. We all have our own Mishenes Kaneh, those false supports we lean on. Maybe it's material success, relationships, or the illusion that we're in control. As we read Parshas Va'era and its Haftorah, we are reminded that freedom is a process. It's not just about escaping physical bondage. It's about freeing our minds and hearts. Yechezkel challenges us to ask ourselves the question, what plays the role of the Mishenes Kaneh in my life? What's holding me back from trusting Hashem fully? Can we free ourselves from whichever Mitzrayim we are imprisoning ourselves with today? True redemption begins when we let go of illusions and embrace the strength that comes from our faith. Thank you for studying together.